Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week in more than 75 countries, worldwide over the Internet, and here in the United States. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on poison in our food supply when we come back. You know, in 1970, the world food supply was 73 days for every man, woman, and child on planet Earth. Today, it's down to less than 38 days. And these global 2,000 mad scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians plan to use famine, disease, plague, and pestilence to reduce the Earth's population by 90% over the next 50 years under the Club of Rome plan. In Revelation chapter 6, the God of Israel told us exactly the same thing in essentially the same words, using false prophets, war, famine, and disease. Well, back in 1920, nearly 50% of the people who lived in this country lived on the land. They lived as subsistence farmers, producing their own food and food for the rest of the world and for you and me. But today, we Americans have now chosen to live in the city, and only 3% of us live on the land. 97% of Americans today are no longer self-sufficient in their food production. Now, America produces a lot of grain for export, all right, and then we turn around and import grapes from Chile, tomatoes from Mexico, and berries from Guatemala. Our food supply is in the hands of foreigners and multinational corporations who support this Global 2000 World Population Control Program. And these globalists, with their genocide agenda, have a cause that they're willing to die for, and I say let them die for their cause. And let you and I live for hours. Now, if you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order my free General Law CD package. Remember, that's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge. You can call and order yours right now. The number 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the Subsistence and Survival School is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, go to the website, georgegordon.org. Just click on the email. Send an email request for that free General Law CD package. Remember, georgegordon.org, or call direct, 417-273-4967. All right, last time we were talking about excitotoxins, MSG, aspartame, or aspartic acid, I guess they call it, and they put it into a product that's called aspartame. You'll see it in spoonful and equal. You go into the restaurant and you sit down, and there'll be two cups there. One's got CNH, pure cane sugar, which is a deadly toxic poison, and then you got this aspartame in the form of equal or spoonful or something. That's another deadly toxic poison. I mean, you can choose the red poison or the green poison, the red death pill or the green death pill. Well, I got to reading here the other day, and I found a little blurb. Here's what it says. It says, cochineal extract. It's C-O-C-H-I-N-E-A-L. I guess that's cochineal extract. Well, this cochineal extract is a color additive that is also known as carmine dye. It is extracted from dried cochineal bugs and has been used for centuries to give foods, drinks, cosmetics, and fibers the red, orange, pink, and purple color. It is commonly used in fruit drinks, popsicles, candy, yogurt, and some processed foods. Pharmaceuticals and cosmetics use it. Cochineal extract is often listed on product labels because it is considered a natural additive instead of a synthetic dye, since it is an animal product. Some product labels identify it as an ingredient, but others simply say color added or artificial color or artificial color added. Now, the Center for Science and the Public Interest petitioned the FDA to either revoke approval of carmine colorings or require that they be clearly labeled by name. Now, a University of Michigan allergist, whose name is James Baldwin, he's an MD, has confirmed that cochineal extract is a known cause of life-threatening anaphylactic shock, and it can also be the cause of unexplained allergic reactions ranging from mild hives and itching skin to dangerous anaphylaxis. Well, I looked up this bug over here. It's a beetle is what it is. A beetle. And they grind this red beetle up, and then they dry it, you know, and they make a powder out of it, and they send it over here to the United States, and they put it in our food. Now, I don't know about you, but if I read on the package, and on the package it said ground up red beetles, I wouldn't buy it. And I don't know about you, but I think that the manufacturers believe that you wouldn't buy it either. Now, I'll guarantee you I wouldn't buy it because Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14 tell us what is clean and what is unclean when it comes to eating animals. For instance, you can eat animals. It's not against the law to eat meat. It's not against the law, but it's against the law to eat some animals. Now, insects are one of the groups of animals that are illegal to eat, save for just one, and they're called locusts. And John the Baptist lived in the desert, and he ate locusts and wild honey. I don't know about you, but I'm not overly crazy about locusts or the idea of eating locusts, but at least I know that if I ate a locust, that the creator of the universe said, well, I made those locusts, and they're clean to eat, and you can eat them if you want to. You don't have to. Fortunately, there's no law that requires me to eat a locust. But the law requires that I eat these ground-up red beetles, and the way they get around this is by keeping me ignorant. They don't tell me that this is a ground-up red beetle, knowing full well, of course, that if they did, I wouldn't eat it, therefore I wouldn't buy their product. So corporate America, in conjunction with the FDA, in conjunction with the Congress, and in conjunction with the President of the United States, all working together, are not passing laws requiring us to eat these red beetles. What they do is they hide the fact that they're putting these red beetles into our food supply. Now tuck away in your heart, all of you Jews and Muslims out there that practice the dietary laws, that your government is feeding you red ground-up beetles. Now, most of us that are knowledgeable about food don't waste our time writing letters to the Congress like what they call themselves here, the Center for Science and the Public Interest. And I'm glad that there's little groups like this running around raising hell with Congress and the President and telling them, hey, tell us what kind of a beetle this is that you're putting into our ice cream and yogurt, would you? But I know in advance that Congress isn't going to do anything to change it, and neither is Kraft Incorporated or Swift or Armorstar or any of the big food manufacturing companies. That isn't going to happen. So it's up to me. Little Georgie Gordon has to be smart enough to avoid eating these red beetles, otherwise they're going to feed red beetles to me. So I thought, well, I'll share that with you. Let's run over this again. Fruit drinks. Now, there's a difference between a fruit drink and a drink or a beverage that has 100% boysenberry juice or is made from boysenberries or apples, etc. The minute that you see the word drink on here, that should be a buzzword that says, oh, this thing probably isn't fit for human consumption. Then there's popsicles. That's sugar water with color and flavoring in it. That isn't fit to eat. Candy, well, you all knew that candy wasn't good for you anyway. And yogurt. Now, the yogurt's probably good for you, but the minute they put in these red beetles, it's not good to eat any longer. and some processed foods. It doesn't tell us what these processed foods are. Pharmaceuticals, well, they're not good for you anyway. And cosmetics. Well, I guess if you want to stick lipstick on your lips, lady, with ground up red beetles in it, that's your choice in life, but I think I'll avoid it. Ground up red beetles. Can you imagine that on the label? Well, now you know what's in a lot of the food that you eat. And it also ought to send you another signal about these multinational corporations. These same multinational corporations aren't concerned about Muslims, Jews, or little Georgie Gordon, or any of the other 7,000 that haven't bowed their knee to Baal yet, and that want to follow Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14. All right. Now, food manufacturers hide dangerous ingredients in everyday foods by using confusing terms on the label. I covered a little of that last time. Let's take a look at it in greater detail. The Food Allergen Labeling and Consumer Protection Act will take effect in January of 2006, and it will require food companies to use common names for 8 food allergens such as milk, shellfish, eggs, peanuts, fish, wheat, and soy. There's been a lot of press about this Consumer Protection Act, but very little discussion about the other ingredients that are hidden in our foods by food manufacturers that pose a legitimate health risk to every consumer, not just those with specific food allergens. As a good example of the kind of ingredients that are hidden on your food labels, let's take a look at MSG, also called monosodium glutamate. See the related ebook on monosodium glutamate. MSG is an excitotoxin, an ingredient known to cause nerve damage by overexciting nerves. And this is exactly how MSG enhances the taste of foods, by overexciting the taste buds on your tongue. And while MSG is sometimes listed directly on the label, it is more frequently hidden in other ingredients, such as yeast extract, autolyzed vegetable protein, or hydrolyzed vegetable protein. All three of these ingredients contain monosodium glutamate, and yet they are designed to mislead consumers by avoiding mentioning MSG directly on the label. The same thing is true with this red dye. You know, we don't want to upset you by telling you that this is ground up red beetles. Now, other ingredients may be misleading without necessarily being dangerous. One such ingredient is carmine, which is called a red coloring frequently used in yogurt, candies, fruit drinks, and sweets. Carmine is actually made from the dead, ground-up husks of female red beetles. These beetles, which are typically raised in the Canary Islands, are dried and then ground up to create a red paste. This red paste is then exported to the United States and other countries where food is produced, and it is added to foods to give them a rose-like color, something similar to a strawberry color. And it's listed on the label as carmine, not as ground-up red beetles. And while carmine doesn't necessarily pose a health risk to American consumers, it is still an example of dishonest labeling. It's dishonest labeling because people have the right to know when they are eating ground-up insects, and ground-up insects are being used in their foods. And there are probably 100 items in your grocery store right now that contain this carmine dye, this carmine listed right on the label. And you can go to your store right now and check it out and verify what I'm relating to you and to see whether or not it's true. Just pick up practically any strawberry yogurt and you'll see it right on the label. Strawberry yogurt. Now, there are other ingredients used on food labels that are, in fact, extremely toxic to the human body, and yet they are not listed with the appropriate descriptions. One such ingredient is sodium nitrite. Sodium nitrite. This sodium nitrite is added to most packaged lunch meat and lunch meat type products found in a grocery store and even in some health food stores. To most people, sodium nitrite simply sounds like a form of salt, but in fact, this ingredient is extremely carcinogenic. Cancer-causing is what that means. When combined with your saliva and digestive enzymes, this sodium nitrite creates cancer-causing compounds known as nitrosamines. These nitrosamines are so toxic to biological systems that they're actually used to give lab rats cancer in laboratory tests. Now, in humans, the consumption of sodium nitrite has been strongly correlated with brain tumors, leukemia, and cancers of the digestive tract, you know, like colon cancer. And yet this ingredient carries absolutely no warning on food labels, and in fact, it seems to sound like a perfectly safe ingredient, you know, like sodium. As with carmine, you can go to your grocery store and find hundreds, if not thousands, of products using sodium nitrite. Just look for it on the bacon, the ham, the pepperoni, and the other packaged meat products. In fact, it's almost impossible to find a packaged meat product that is not made with sodium nitrite. This ingredient is especially prevalent in hot dogs and lunch meats. It has been clinically proven to cause leukemia, brain tumors, and other forms of cancer. Let me pause right here and make an observation for you. You know, if we were following the Bible, we would not eat fat or blood. Now, all of the lunch meats, well, I shouldn't say all, most of the lunch meats, you know, bologna, hot dogs, hamburger, they contain 40% fat, which is prohibited in Leviticus 3, verse 17. So if you don't eat fat, you wouldn't eat these packaged lunch meats. Now, there are some lunch meats, such as turkey, pastrami, that don't have this fat in it, at least not in those concentrations. Now, take a look and see if there is sodium nitrite. If you'll ask at the delicatessen, oftentimes at the delicatessen, not the Oscar Mayer lunch meat that's over in the meat counter, or in the meat, lunch and meat section, but over at the delicatessen, if you'll ask, do you put sodium nitrite or sodium nitrate in your meats? Oftentimes they are not. So you can eat these lunch meats that come from the delicatessen. You know, such things as pastrami, or turkey pastrami, or smoked turkey, or perhaps smoked salmon, or something like that. Just ask and see if they've got it. If they've got sodium nitrite, you might want to avoid that. If you don't, you know, be my guest. I'm not here to tell you what to eat. I'm just here to tell you about the poisons that are in your food. Now, by the way, if sodium nitrite is so dangerous, why do food manufacturers even use it? Well, because it adds red color to meat products that would otherwise appear to be putrid gray. By making them look red with the help of this color additive, sodium nitrite, these meat products look more delicious and fresh, even though they are not fresh at all. And some of these products have a shelf life of several months, which is far longer than any normal piece of meat would spoil. I got to tell you a little story here. An old buddy of mine had a restaurant. And one day he asked me to come down to his restaurant to do a little work. I was a general contractor at the time, and he wanted me to come in, give him an estimate on some work he needed done his restaurant, and so I did. And as a result of that, I was walking behind the counter, at the end of the counter, under the cash register. There were two funny-looking things down there. I couldn't help but notice these two funny-looking things. They were dried-up-looking penises. It looked like a couple of penises dried up there. And I looked at that and I said, well, obviously that can't be true. And as I stared at these two thingies under the cash register on the shelf, I looked up at Dave and I said, and as I pointed, I said, what's that, Dave? And he said, why don't you try to guess what those are? And I told him what I thought they were, and he laughed, and he said, nope, wrong. They're not dried-up penises. And I said, could they be hot dogs? And he said, second guess, you win. That's what those are. Those are two Oscar Mayer weenies. And I reached down and I picked one of them up and I looked at this thing and it was hard and leathery. And it had, you know, it looked like an old man, you know, that hasn't had teeth for 40 years, you know. How his mouth is all wrinkled up, you know. Well, that's what they look like, these great big deep wrinkles in there. And it was kind of leathery and hard. And I couldn't help but ask. I said, how long have they been there? And he said, 7 months. I said, you got to be kidding me. I said, you put two weenies down here 7 months ago and that's the result? He said, yeah. And he said, the cockroaches don't eat them. The rats and mice don't eat them. There isn't anything except man that would eat an Oscar Mayer weenie. I put it back underneath the cash register, and as far as I know, they're there to this day. And that was 40 years ago. I mean, you could just take and just experiment for yourself. These weenies, they've got sodium nitride in them. They've got a deadly poison in there. Not very much. But I was watching some tapes the other day. I'll tell you another little story here. There's a guy by the name of Kent Hovind. You ever heard of Kent Hovind? He's a pretty funny guy. He's a Baptist. He's a religious guy. I'm going to write his name down here right now. Kent Hovind. Now, well, this guy, he said, have you ever noticed that rat poison is 99.995% inert ingredients? There's absolutely nothing in there that's going to harm you. It just has 0.005% of something you can't pronounce, deadly toxic poison in there, and when a rat eats it, it kills them. Boys and girls, it doesn't take very much poison. Now, cockroaches won't eat those Oscar Mayer weenies, and I don't think they'd eat any other form or brand of weenie that has sodium nitrite or sodium nitrate in it. Two deadly poisons. Kills bacteria. The bacteria cannot break that stuff down. I mean, if you kill a cow out here, the coyotes will eat it, and pretty soon the bacteria gets in it, and it'll just degenerate and disintegrate, and pretty soon it's just gone. Totally consumed. It's biodegradable. Not an Oscar Mayer weenie. That thing is not biodegradable. I know. I saw it with my own eyeballs. Well, anyway, Kent Hovind's a guy that told that story about rat poison. You know, it's 99.95 or 999.999995. I don't know what the numbers are, but, you know, there's only just a very, very tiny, it's less than 1%. It's about a half of a 1% is the poison that's in the rat poison itself. And that's what you got here with this lunch meat. That's not all, boys and girls. There's more. Now, the three ingredients mentioned here are only small examples of the kind of ingredients used by food manufacturers that pose potential harm to consumers. And yet, they're not appropriately described on the food labels. Food labeling is frequently a con game, where the food manufacturer attempts to put ingredients into foods that benefit the manufacturer and then yet harm the consumer. And, of course, the manufacturer does not want the consumer to be aware that these ingredients are harmful or that they are even present in the food, so they rely on confusing names or innocent-sounding names like carmine in order to avoid the chance that consumers might be concerned about eating ground-up red beetles. Yeah, I'd second that motion. Boy, I'm real concerned about eating ground-up red beetles. I'm real concerned about eating MSG now that I've read a little something about it. I'm kind of concerned about sodium nitrite and sodium nitrate. So when I read the labels on things in the store, which is why I don't shop in supermarkets, they tell me that in the average supermarket today, there are 8,000 to 12,000 products in there. I mean, there's a bunch. You know, you're talking about 8,000 products. Now, in my search of the Kroger, Safeway, Albertson stores, I have never found anything in one of those stores fit for human consumption. It either violates Leviticus 11 or Deuteronomy 14, or it violates some other health or food standard or statute in the Scripture. Or, if it's not directly found in the Scripture, it's found in the literature, like MSG. God never said a word about MSG. I wish He had. But now that we found out about MSG, I mean, after all, we ate off of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and let the genie out of the jar. Now we know good and evil. We know science. We know scientific inquiry. So now we can find out that, yes, MSG is a killer. And then the manufacturers like Oscar Mayer or Swift or Hormel or Kraft Foods or any one of a number of other big multinational corporations put these poisons and dyes and ground up red beetles into your food, don't tell you a word about it. I think it's because if you knew what was in that food, you wouldn't buy it either. And that would be bad for business. God forbid that we should interfere with trade, commerce, business, or industry here. Now, taken as a whole, this demonstrates the high level of dishonesty and the lack of integrity at food manufacturing companies. So, I don't think that the Hormel Company or Swift or Kraft or any of these big multinational corporations should be concerned about what I think of them. It demonstrates the high level of dishonesty. I mean, these guys are lion thieves. And they hide it as best they can. Now, many such companies in the business of manufacturing the cheapest, most profitable processed foods that consumers can buy, regardless of how healthy or how unhealthy they may be. And as we can see from manufacturing practices today and examples throughout the history of modern food, food manufacturers will use practically any ingredient that they can get away with, including those ingredients that are well known to cause chronic disease. And in modern times, such ingredients include hydrogenated oils and homogenized milk and milk fats, which are found in virtually all cow's milk products. Now, the bottom line to all of this is that the new act requiring accurate labeling of food allergens is certainly a small step in the right direction. It's designed for protecting consumers from food manufacturing companies, but it barely scratches the surface of the kind of labeling requirements that need to be enforced in order to prevent consumers from being exposed to other ingredients that promote chronic disease. I gotta tell you another little story here, because when Congress passes an act like this, it's like throwing a sop to us. You know that? And I'll tell you why. Because in these laws, they're written by lawyers, and in the law itself, it's filled with loopholes, which are specifically designed for the manufacturers to circumvent the intent of the law. Now, you see, from your point of view and my point of view, we're sitting here clapping our hands and jumping up and down and pawing the ground and biting the bushes, and we're lauding our senators and representatives. Give it to them. They're working for us. No, they're working for Swift and Hormel, let me tell you. Because in that law is carefully worded phrases that exempt them from the law and the intent of the law. Where it may say, you've got to tell us about this MSG that's in this product. And so they're going to tell you. They're going to put a new name to it. They'll come up with some new name. And then they'll say, well, this product contains natural flavoring, which is a buzzword, which is a euphemism, which is another name for MSG, but they call it natural flavoring. Listen, they can come up with as many new names as they can come up with acts to make us feel real good about the food that they're using to poison us with. So I don't trust Congress, and I don't trust these major manufacturing corporations. I think that you have to use a giant measure of caution with every product that you buy, especially if you shop in a supermarket. Hang on. We're going to give you a couple of reminders, and we'll be right back with more on the poisons that are in our food supply. Now, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. It's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Keep in mind that the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has our radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, economics, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. Remember, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just call the law school direct at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. And the Law Hour, an editorial review, gives credit to the authors and publications used on this program. And we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that the authors or publications that we endorse or recommend are necessarily going to reciprocate. And most of the authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not necessarily endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. The opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, and they do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website, georgegordon.org, or call the law school direct at area code 417-273-4967. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or call the law school direct at area code 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about food and the poisons that are contained in that food that you buy every day down at your local supermarket. Most people don't think very much about the ingredients. They believe that the FDA and the government and Congress and the major manufacturers are out here busily working to protect you and your health and the health of your loved ones every day of every year. Unfortunately, when we take a look at statistics, we find that cancer has increased from approximately 1 in 33, I believe it was, in 1900 to about 1 out of 2 today. You find that there's been a dramatic increase in cardiovascular disease, cancer, rheumatism, arthritis, muscular dystrophy. I mean, you just name it, and there's been an increase in those diseases. Now, at the same time, we've seen a dramatic increase in the use of chemicals and pesticides in agriculture. And there are 87,000 chemicals, of which sodium nitrite and sodium nitrate are just two. MSG and aspartame or aspartate, that's just two more of these many chemicals that have been developed since we learned from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil how to experiment and to use the scientific method or the scientific method to determine right and wrong. Now, we're still not able to figure out what causes cancer or what causes AIDS or what causes rheumatism and arthritis. We've got a treatment for it, but we don't know what causes it. I want to suggest to you that the poisons that you're eating aren't helping you a bit. Now, here's the overview. These and other changes in food label terminology approved by Congress last week may make grocery shopping easier for the more than 2 million Americans who have food allergies. The Food Allergen Labeling and Consumer Protection Act, scheduled to take effect in January 2006, requires food companies to use the common names of the 8 most prevalent food allergens, such as milk, shellfish, fish, peanuts, tree nuts, eggs, wheat, and soy. Currently, little-known synonyms keep some allergens hidden. The bill also requires manufacturers to list allergens in spices, flavorings, and additives. The measure is also relevant to the 3 million Americans with celiac disease and intolerance to wheat and other grains. Mystery meat allergens not only wear disguises, they turn up in unlikely places. I like that term, mystery meat. You hear that term used in jail a lot. You know, they say, well, what kind of meat is this? I don't know, it's mystery meat. And would you believe egg protein in marshmallows? Milk as a binder in deli meats? Some surprises can kill. Experts say that 150 to 200 deaths and 30,000 emergency room visits occur every year in the United States as a result of food allergies, with fish, peanuts, tree nuts as the most likely to cause a severe reaction. Now, what to eat now until the new law is in place? Well, people with food allergies can decipher food labels by using cards from the Food Allergy and Anaphylaxis Network, a nonprofit advocacy group, and you can reach them at www.foodallergy.org, or you can call 1-800-929-4040. Once more, that's www.foodallergy.org or call direct 1-800-929-4040. Remember, it's a nonprofit advocacy group. Let me get that down here straight. It's a nonprofit advocacy group. What to eat now, until the new law is in place, people with food allergies can decipher these food labels by using cards that come from the Food Allergy and Anaphylaxis Network. Now, you got to remember that many of these products with the labels. Now, I told you, you know, a program or two back that I ate some chili the other day, and one of my students who had looked at the label said, well, Mr. Gordon, did you know this had MSG in it? And I said, no, I didn't know that. Now, I bought a bunch of that chili, and I ate some of it, and sure enough, I looked on the label. I don't know how we happened to buy that. I don't know where it came from. We won't be eating any more of it. Well, won't be eating any more of it short of famine conditions. Now, I wouldn't say that if I starving to death, I wouldn't eat some chili with MSG in it. But in the meantime, I don't need to. I've got plenty of organic chili, and I think I'll just concentrate on the organic stuff. But listen, there's an organization out there. You can get a card. When you go into the store, you can look on the card, and then it will decipher for you what these chemicals in this food really is. Now, remember, the manufacturers are hiding this information from you. If that bothers you, if that just makes you damn mad because somebody is hiding from you the fact that there are ground up red beetles in your yogurt and you want to do something about it, then you get one of these cards from the foodallergy.org people. And consumers can also check the Food and Drug Administration's website, which lists foods voluntarily recalled by manufacturers because they may pose serious health threats from allergens or from contamination. Food allergens or contamination. Food and Drug Administration. I wonder if they got a web page. Yeah, they do. It's called www.fda.gov/opacom/7alerts. Again, that's www.fda.gov. They'll get their website and then /opacom/7alerts. All right, there's the tip of the iceberg. Now let's go behind the scenes. Natural or plant-derived labeling can actually deceive you. And that's because 3/4 of Americans believe. Now that's 3/4, 75% of us, 3 out of every 4 of us, believe that products that are labeled natural should contain at least 90% or more natural ingredients, and 86% believe that products that are labeled natural are safe. So that's 86% of us. That's for practical purposes, that's everybody in America believes that when they read a product, a label, and it says natural on it, it's safe. According to a survey released by the National Consumers League, called the NCL, National Consumers League. Now here's the reality. The reality of this is that natural isn't always safe, and products with the natural labeling are not required by law to contain only natural ingredients. Now, the NCL president says, our survey shows that consumers believe and they think of words like safe and good for me when they think of natural. But across the board, from prescription drugs to food products, many of these natural claims are lying, deceiving, and misleading at best. Now, natural or plant-derived claims on labels aren't only found on dietary supplements and herbals. The NCL has found the claim on prescription medicines, over-the-counter medications, foods, personal care products, and cosmetics. And a new report released today by the NCL explores government regulation of natural labeling for these products and suggests that clear definitions among all types of products are necessary to help consumers understand the meaning of the word natural. All right, boys and girls, there's a lesson coming up. When you see the word natural over here, a big red flag should come up in front of your eyeballs. Oh, my God, somebody's lying to me again. That's what natural means. Oh, my God, somebody's lying to me again. That's what natural means. For example, Anso Comfort Capsules, promoted as a natural herbal dietary supplement, useful for treating a wide variety of illnesses, including high blood pressure and high cholesterol, were found to contain the undeclared prescription drug, and I won't try to pronounce this. It's something like, chlorodiazepepsicide or something like that. Anyway, this chlorodiazepepsicide is an addictive, controlled substance used for anxiety and as a sedative, and it can be dangerous if not taken under medical supervision. The distributor recalled the product, and consumers were warned to immediately stop using the product. And that one was named Natural. Then the California Department of Human Services found in a random sample of herbal stores, this is a random sample, that means that they just kind of walk in unannounced, one here and one there. So, in a random sampling, they found that in herbal stores, 32%, now that's one-third, of these natural remedies contained either heavy metals, such as lead, arsenic, or mercury, or undeclared pharmaceuticals. So now when you walk into your herbal store, one-third of everything in that place that has the word natural written across it contains heavy metals like lead, arsenic, or mercury, or other undeclared pharmaceuticals. And that's in your herbal stores. I don't know what would happen if you went to a real store, you know, like Kroger's or Safeway. But these are in the herbal stores where you would expect everything in there to be 100% kosher, or at least vegetarian, or at least natural, or at least safe, wouldn't you? Hell, we're talking about the health food stores now, boys and girls. We're not talking about Jimmy Dean's pure pork sausage or McDonald's. I'm talking health food herbal stores. 32%, one-third of the natural remedies contained heavy metals or undeclared pharmaceuticals. It gets worse. The FDA does not specifically define or regulate the use of the claims natural or plant-derived for drugs, prescription, or over-the-counter. Remember what I told you? It doesn't make any difference what law Congress passes. They always write into the law loopholes big enough to drive a Mack truck through. So don't believe anything that you read. Don't believe anything that you hear. And don't believe very much of what you see or you can perceive from your own five senses. Question it. Big red flags ought to come up. Now, generally, drug labels or advertisements cannot make false or misleading statements, but it's happening anyway. For example, the marketers of Senestin, C-E-N-E-S-T-I-N, a registered trademark, a prescription hormone replacement therapy drug, claim that the product contains estrogens that are 100% plant-derived. However, a recent analysis indicates that the estrogens are only about 65% plant-derived, with the balance derived from petrochemical feedstocks. Now, petrochemical feedstocks means crude oil. That's crude oil, brother, 35% of it. Now, you know, if they said, this estrogen, this hormone that you're taking is made from pure, light, Arabian crude oil, at least they'd be telling us the truth, assuming, of course, that the crude oil came from Arabia, not Venezuela, and they weren't using that heavy sulfur crap from Venezuela, but were using the real good, the real light, the real light, amber, Arabian crude. Now, I don't know about you boys and girls, but I like crude oil about like I like ground up red beetles. And I might point out here that there is a vast difference between the imitation, artificial, synthetic chemicals that we call vitamins, and the real vitamins that actually come from and are plant-derived or animal-derived. But it gets better than that. The NCL survey results showed that a majority of consumers, 65% of us, I'm one of those, you know, I'm a consumer, and I'm one of that 100% out there. Well, 65% of us falsely believe that products claiming to be natural must describe on the label which of the product's ingredients or processes are natural. So when I look on the label and I see natural, and as I'm reading the label, I would presume that this label is going to tell me what ingredients in this product are in fact natural. They don't. You know, when Congress or the legislature writes a law, it's written by lawyers, and like as not, those lawyers are working for the pharmaceutical industry, or for the meatpacking industry, or Kraft Foods, or Oscar Mayer, or somebody else. And when they write these regulations, when they write these laws and statutes, they write them from the point of view of the manufacturer of the food processor. Let me give you an illustration. In California, there's a law. It's called the Fat Law of California, and it says, in effect, that any manufacturer, processor, or meat handler, or distributor who shall be found to put more than 30% fat in the hamburger shall be it shall be a misdemeanor, and he shall be fined $300 or a year in jail or something like that. Now notice that the wording of the law, that it's aimed at these manufacturers. See, well, who is it that wants to put 30% fat in the hamburger? It's the Oscar Mayers and it's the meat processors. They're the ones that want the fat in the hamburger. When was the last time you went down to Sacramento and you went into the legislature, to the Agriculture Committee, and said, let me testify on the fat law. I want 30% fat in the hamburger. I want 35% fat in the hamburger. I want 40% fat in my weenies. No. The average Joe six-pack out here doesn't want any fat at all. When was the last time you went down to the supermarket and said, give me 10 pounds of suet. I want to go home and I want to cook up this fat. I mean, I want to really wallow in this stuff. You know, I go into the supermarket once in a while and ask for suet so I can bring it home and feed it to the birds, but I never have gone in to buy any for myself, and I don't think that the average Jane housewife is going into the supermarket to buy fat. So notice that the legislature writes the statute and says if any manufacturer or processor or wholesaler or jobber shall be found to put more than 30% fat in the hamburger. See how that sounds? Sounds like, God, they're after those dirty criminals that are putting too much fat in the hamburger. What did God tell you about eating fat? He said, you shall eat no manner of fat. You shall eat no manner of fat. 1% is more than you're authorized to eat. Let alone 30%. Now, in our state, we have a wide variety of choices. So you can go into the local supermarket and you can get lean hamburger. That's 91% lean and 9% fat. By law, enacted by, God bless them, the legislature of Missouri. Or you can get 70%. The 70% is 70% lean and 30% fat, or you can get 80-20. So you get 70-30, 80-20, or 91-9. And yes, it's true. If it could be shown that they put 33% fat in the hamburger, I'm sure they'd fine them. I'm sure that they'd punish them. But hey, listen, we're not supposed to be eating any amount of fat, and those laws are designed that way by the manufacturing industry so that they can have a place to get rid of all of that suet. I mean, after all, when they go to the sale, they buy a cow, it's 25% fat, and they got to have a place to put that fat. And so they put it in the lunch meat along with the sodium nitrite and the ground up red beetles to give it that red color. God, isn't that just special? Now, as more and more consumers take a leading role in managing their own health by carefully reading food and dietary supplement labels and then learning about new medications and treatments, the NCL says it's more important than ever for them to understand the claims made regarding drug products and food items. Just because something's on the shelf at the grocery store or drugstore does not mean that it's harmless. When taking prescription or when you're taking over-the-counter drugs and dietary supplements, consumers must always be cautious of the interactions with foods and medications and possible side effects, even if the product is labeled natural. Natural. Do you know what that means? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And the National Consumers League, founded in 1899, is America's pioneer consumer organization. Our mission is to identify, protect, represent, and advance the economic and social interests of consumers and workers. The NCL is a private, nonprofit membership organization. So if you want more information, let me see where we got this. It says www.StopLabelingLies.com. That's pretty straightforward. www.StopLabelingLies, all one word, .com. And we're talking about the National, what is it, Consumers League. National Consumers League. All right, we got about 4 or 5 minutes here. Let's see what else we got here. A roadmap to guide your customers through the ever-expanding world of eco labels. I'll get into this in greater detail in the next program, but do you know what biodynamic means, or certified organic, or conventional? Our country of origin labeling, it was called the COOL law that Congress would not enact, because the meat industry in this country does not want you to know what country that meat originated in. Did you know that? Cool. Country of origin labeling. Fair trade. Or food alliance. Or hydroponic. Or integrated pest management. Or no genetically modified organisms. Or NutraClean, no detectable pesticide residues, or pesticide-free, or transitional. These are all terms that are used in the food industry, and in some cases it's used to hide, it's used to cover up, it's used to confuse you, and one of the best ways to deceive somebody is to tell him 10 different lies mixed with one truth, so that you have 11 choices and it's impossible for you to pick out the truth out of 11 possible examples. So what they do is they come out here, the food industry that does this, they're great at it. The education industry is great at this. And we come along and we say, Johnny can't read, there's a problem. Then we come out here with about 10 different solutions or 10 different reasons why Johnny can't read. Now the reason Johnny can't read is because he never learned the code called phonics. But we don't want you to go back to phonics. We want to hide and bury phonics. And so we come up with all of these other scientific studies to confuse the issue. That's what it's done with food. And that's why you've got hundreds of different dietary programs out there all competing for your food dollar. Here's what causes obesity. You eat more calories than you burn up. And the solution to obesity is you eat less than you burn up. And that's just where it's at. I know it's distasteful. I know that isn't what you wanted to hear, but that's the way it is. Like it or lump it. And by confusing the issue by putting out 50 different solutions or 10 different causes of the problem, is the number one way to confuse, to obfuscate, to hide, to falsify. It's the way that we lie to you and get away with it. Next time, we'll take it up right here. A roadmap to guide your customers through the ever-expanding world of eco labels. How to uncover the lies. Next time on the Law Hour and Editorial Review. All right, you've been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. You just remember that the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. Remember, the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour and is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. And the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, economics, education, politics, religion, and news, and current events. All right, I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, and good night, friends.